I'd like to just ask you, God, to share with these brothers and sisters from your heart to mine to theirs what you would have me share and say this morning. Thank you, Jesus, and let it be to your honor and glory. Amen. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. And so begins this passage in the Gospel of John, where we will find one man's life-changing conversation with Jesus, and we will find an invitation to us, for us, to trust Jesus with our lives today and with our eternal souls forever. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Why? Why at night? Maybe he was being cautious or afraid, hiding in the dark, using the darkness. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." And then we come to here. Are you maybe a little surprised that John 3:16 follows Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus? Okay, let's go back. I need to share with you some very, very important definitions. A Pharisee was a Jewish religious leader. They were a group. They were distinguished by their strict observance of traditional and written law. The word Pharisee means separated one. Jesus often criticized the Pharisees for being hypocrites. They were teachers, yet they separated themselves from the common people because they considered them religiously unclean. So the very people that they were to teach, they separated themselves from. They were opposed to Jesus, who they saw as undermining their authority. Became hostile. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling Jewish council. Verse 2, "Rabbi," means teacher. In verse 5, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Water and the Spirit. Okay. Nicodemus would have known his Bible very, very well. And so when Jesus spoke these words, Nicodemus would have remembered this verse from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. God speaking, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Nicodemus would know that. God promised there a new covenant, and that new covenant would finally be fulfilled in Jesus. Then we have verse 8, the wind and the spirit. We cannot control the work and the way of the Holy Spirit of God. And we cannot control our own spiritual rebirth. It is a gift of God through the Holy Spirit. Our very faith in God is enabled by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus talked about the wind going wherever he wants. And he said, so it is with the Spirit and all who are born of the Spirit. Okay. In verse 13, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. That is a messianic term. Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man in the Gospels. This is a reference to a verse in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, where you find a prophecy of the Messiah. Nicodemus would have known this too. And in verse 14, about Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter 21, God sent a plague of snakes on the Israelites who were traveling in the wilderness. It was a punishment for their disobedience. God told Moses to make a bronze snake and lift it up on a pole, and everyone who looked up at it would be saved and not die from the snake bite. Nicodemus would know this. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, yet he came to Jesus, this is not a small thing, he came to Jesus with a question burning in his heart and soul. Burning. Who is this Jesus? Who is Jesus? These definitions that I just explained are important because although Nicodemus would have well known the scriptures from Ezekiel and Daniel and Numbers, he did not understand what Jesus was saying about being born again. In verse 3, Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Well, Nicodemus knew about the kingdom of God. From his Bible, our Old Testament, he knew the kingdom of God would be ruled by God, restored on earth, and inhabited by God's people. But Jesus reveals the kingdom of God will come to everyone, the whole world. And Nicodemus would not be part of it unless he was born again. This got very personal very fast and very radical. And when Jesus said, you know, you won't be part of it unless you're born again. Everyone has to be born again to enter the kingdom. And Nicodemus asked, how can this be? How can this be? I hope I get to meet Nicodemus in heaven. I so would like to have a conversation with him about his conversation with Jesus. In his book, Parable of Joy, author Michael Card writes these beautiful words. He uses his imagination to think of what Nicodemus might have been thinking when he left Jesus that night. So this is not in the Bible, but these are beautiful words from Michael Card. For Nicodemus and his council associates, religion was a matter of doing, of keeping the law, of being good. But Jesus seemed to think that true religion was based on something God was doing, giving birth to new sons and daughters by his Spirit. And now Michael Card imagines what Nicodemus might have been thinking as he made his way home that night. This is Nicodemus talking. I must look again closely at that passage in Ezekiel. Not with self-condemnation, but with joy, he thought, the only reason I've not understood it is because it has never happened to me. Perhaps I should give up asking to see miracles and ask God instead to make me a miracle. After this conversation, we find Nicodemus only twice more in the Gospel of John and nowhere else. In John chapter 7, the Jewish council was discussing ways to eliminate Jesus, and Nicodemus spoke up for justice. Doesn't someone get a trial, a hearing before they're condemned? But he was overruled, but he spoke up. And in John 19, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus together bury the body of the crucified Jesus in the tomb. That was a life-changing conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. But hard words, aren't they? Hard words. The entire gospel, the great saving love of God for us, God's rescue plan for us, is found in this one verse here. God's fierce and forever love reaching out to us, always reaching out to rescue us from our sin and its consequences, to welcome us into his family, Sin is serious to God. It separates us from him. Isaiah 59 talks about that. Sin separates us from God, destroys our soul. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is everlasting death. God threw us a lifeline. His beloved only Son, his own Jesus, a part of his heart. And Jesus said yes. For love of us, the judgment of God on us, on our sins, fell on Jesus. And crucified, he took our place, his life for ours. He paid the price of our redemption, our salvation. And Jesus offers us now a new life, a spiritually born again life. We believe in Jesus and what he has done for us. That phrase, born again, it had kind of a rough time in the, oh, I don't know, what do you think, 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe? Like Nicodemus, people didn't understand, I guess, and that phrase, born again, became very controversial. But it is not. It is not. It is a spiritual rebirth and an offer for a new spiritual life. Sin is uncomfortable to talk about. It's not something, you know, that we talk about in conversations, is it? You know, I'm pretty sure none of us are going to go home today and sit down around our table and talk and say, let's talk about sin. It's uncomfortable. We don't feel like sinners. We don't feel like bad people. And you know what? We're not. I think, though, that sometimes we might not see our sin until we see Jesus. When we're spiritually born again, the Holy Spirit reveals to us behaviors, habits, attitudes, desires, thoughts that are unbecoming a follower of Christ. And we have been invited by God, because he loves us, to confess this sinful behavior and to repent. Repent means a turning. That's what the word means, repent, a turning. A turning from behaviors that are dishonoring to God. A turning toward Jesus, always. Turning toward Jesus and the things of God. It's a lifelong journey of faith. It's a faith that can grow and flourish with Jesus. I like that word, flourish. We don't just exist, we flourish. How? How does this happen? That's what Nicodemus asked. How can this be? How can this be? I'm thankful to God that he tells us very plainly. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Born again. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Even a child can ask. Remember, Jesus said, the wind goes where it will. So does the Holy Spirit. You cannot discount the ability, the influence of the Holy Spirit to enable a child to believe in Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said, he answered a question. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me. No one. These are hard words. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Hard words. What if at the beginning of this passage, where it says, now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, or now there was a man named Nicodemus who was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus and said, and then their conversation started. What if we put our name in there? Now there was a man or woman named Beverly who was a Sunday school teacher, a retired expediter, sister in Christ. She came to Jesus and said, and have that opportunity to have that conversation with Jesus always and today. I was in a service many years ago where the pastor spoke to all of us and said, there are good people in this congregation doing good things. Good people that I love doing good things. And they're not going to heaven. They're not. Because they haven't asked Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. They haven't said, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, Jesus. And I say it with all my heart. Jesus, you are Lord. And I want you to be my Savior. I want to follow you. I want you to write my story. Okay. There are people here in our congregation who would be very happy to share their story with you about how they first met Jesus and came to know him as Savior. You can ask me if you want who they are. I think they would be willing to share their story with you. You know, some stories are very dramatic. Our friend John one night fell on his face on the floor at as far down as he could. He hit the bottom and below. And he simply said, Jesus, help me. Help me. That cry from his heart, acknowledging the love and the sovereignty and the power of Jesus. And the next day, John's life was changed. Very changed, dramatically. Sometimes that's an experience, and sometimes it's very quiet. Very quiet, it happens. We have a beautiful song to listen to now for our postlude. And after that song and the benediction, if you feel that you do not want to leave this sanctuary today without asking Jesus to be your Savior, you can come up to this pew if you like, or you can go to that room to the left through the doors, and I'll pray with you. Or you can sit right where you are, or you can go home and think about it. We sort of talked about sin, and it gets very oppressive. We talk about that when we talk about condemnation. But God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him, who trust him. If you know Jesus as your Savior and would just like to come up here after our postlude and thank God and praise him for your salvation, or you would just like someone to pray with you, you are welcome to come. Sit or stay where you are. And for those of us who already know Jesus as our Savior, our call from Jesus is to tell others of his saving, marvelous love. It's our responsibility. Why would we be, and I understand this feeling, and so do all of you, why would a person be hesitant or self-conscious or even embarrassed to come up and ask for Jesus, the Son of God, to be Lord of your life? Why are we hesitant to give him that trust? To walk with him every day, to let him give us his own joy, his own peace, his own life. His nature will grow within us more and more like Jesus every day. Why would we be hesitant to say, let me write your story? Jesus, you write my story. You write my story. I want that. It's okay, you know, to feel hesitant, but don't let that stop you from saying, Jesus is Lord. I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead. The responsibility of this church then is to provide instruction and education and guidance for the person who has become a follower of the way. That's what the early Christians were called. They didn't get called Christians till later in the New Testament. Followers of the way. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way. Your soul is of such value to God that Jesus gave his very life to save it and protect it. And just because maybe you've been coming to church, if the Holy Spirit moves us, moves in this room, and just because you think, you know, you've been coming to church for a long time, but you just don't feel like you have that confidence in your heart, that's not something to be embarrassed about. Because every person who says yes to Jesus, it's a celebration. It's a good thing. That beautiful love of God reaches out to every one of us. We are so welcome into that love and into the very heart of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. We come by faith alone in Christ alone, or we cannot come to the presence of God. God made a way. His name is Jesus, and Jesus, there's a quiet in this place, and just a quiet, but I don't want it to be sadness. I want you, Holy Spirit, to fill this room and these people with the joy of the Lord, to take with them, to have, to cherish, to know the joy of the Lord. From Hebrews, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.